This is Novel Marketing.
I'm Thomas Umstadt Jr.
I'm James L. Rubart.
And this is the show for novelists who hate marketing but still want to become best-selling authors.
As you know, we talk a lot about how effective author newsletters are and can be for you if you're not doing a newsletter. Of all the online marketing tools, we feel that email, connecting with our readers, is the most powerful way to do it, via email. Most social networks, what are they essentially? They're just an extension of email. People go to Facebook when they get an email about a new photo or a comment. It's the world's biggest social network and the most effective social network at making sales. Yeah. Email is the way to make sales, bottom line.
Because that's where people get their bills. That's where people get notified by Amazon about new products. And so people are in a buying mood when they're in email. So we've talked a lot about how important it is, and we've teased it, but we've never actually done an episode on how to do it. And so this is probably the number one requested episode that we've had over the last several months. So finally, we are going to do an episode on email.
We're going to answer a question asked actually specifically from Gary Hansen, author of Kneeling with Giants. But before we get to his question, we want to point out something about Gary. His book, Kneeling with Giants, is not a novel. It's not fiction. It's nonfiction about learning how to pray with the heroes of the faith. So why is Gary asking us a question? I guess the first question is, why is Gary listening to a marketing podcast that's solely focused on fiction?
And this is a really important point, because a lot of people, when we talked a lot in the branding about focus, 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 you've got to focus. And when we talk to authors about that, the biggest pushback is, no, I can't focus, because if I focus my niche, people outside of that niche won't want to come to me. And that is just wrong. We get a lot of questions from nonfiction authors. We even have people who don't even write books who listen to this podcast. There is a kind of person out there who goes to Red Lobster to eat steak.
It ain't so.
It's true. They have a lot of steak on the menu. And the reality is that focusing your niche doesn't turn off people outside of the niche like you might think that it would. And so being focused and saying you have an expertise, saying we have the best tamales in Texas, doesn't mean that people aren't going to order tacos, crunchy tacos at your Mexican food restaurant, but it gives you credibility. It's like, wow, if they know they have the best tamales in Texas, surely their taco salad is probably pretty good. So I just want to, even though this has nothing to do with email, feel free to focus. And just because you're painting that red dot on the target doesn't mean that you're turning away necessarily people outside of that target. So with that, Jim, what is Gary's question?
So Gary writes and he says, thank you for the great podcast. We appreciate that very much, Gary. He says, I've been building my email list through my blog, GaryNeilHansen.com. I've always sent subscriber links to new posts, including short notes. He's used MailChimp as his vehicle to get that stuff out.
Yay.
He says, you and others often refer to having a newsletter. I would love to hear an episode on newsletters. So, Gary, here you go. You asked us to talk about the difference between sending blog posts and sending a newsletter versus sending out, say, both of them. What should you include in a newsletter and what should you leave out? How do you avoid going insane with the extra work of a newsletter in addition to blogging, doing social media, and that other thing? What was that? Oh, yes, my book. Those are Gary's words, and I love it. He can't wait to hear our thoughts on this apparently crucial and seldom explored issue. Blessings, Gary.
So anyway, Gary, thank you for outlining our episode for us. We're just going to use your email as our outline. So let's talk a little bit about newsletters versus blog emails. And this is an area a lot of authors get confused. So you can set up through a tool like FeedBurner or even a tool like MailChimp where people automatically get an email every time you post to your blog. And that is different from a newsletter. A newsletter is typically far less frequent than that. And ideally, you have both. My recommendation is to have both, and where people sign up, you give them a choice of what they want to be subscribed to, the blog or the newsletter or both, where they can check boxes. Back when we were building websites at Author Media, that's what we put on every website. And the reason you want to do both is that you have two different kinds of fans. You have fans that want to hear from you on a regular basis and read your blog. And a lot of people don't know how to subscribe through RSS, and the only way they know how to subscribe to a blog is through email. And then you have another kind of fan who really just wants to hear about you when you have book news or when you have a new book that's coming out. And they don't want to hear about all your blog posts. And that second kind of fan, that second kind of reader, you absolutely want to communicate with them because their money spends just as well as the person, as their friend who reads every single blog post.
And it's possible, very possible, that that person who does not want to hear from you very often is a more passionate fan than the one who wants to get every blog post you put out.
That's right. It's especially if you write fiction, because blogging for fiction, a lot of fans of fiction don't care about the blog so much. They just want to know about your next book. And so tell them about your next book and they'll be very happy. Whereas other people want all of that insider information. So the next question Gary asks is, what do you include in an author newsletter and what do you leave out? So, Jim, what do you include in an author newsletter?
Well, again, you have, and we talk about this a lot too, Thomas, but what you want to think about is the newsletter is not about you. You think the newsletter
what?
Should
but
be
it's my newsletter, Jim.
I know. Should be news about James L. Rubart. Well, no, not really. A little bit, yes, a splash here and there, but even the news that you put out about yourself should apply to them, should be something that can entertain them, can educate them, can encourage them, and we're looking for an E word for laugh, Thomas.
Emote chuckles. Or
all right, I'll give
laugh.
You that. Okay, that works. That works. So again, if you keep those four E's in mind, entertain them with your newsletter or educate them, make them emote chuckles or encourage them, even provoke them. You just want to create some type of emotion in them that has to do with their life, not yours.
Basically, you want to think of it as, how can I serve people with this email? In fact, Jesus was walking along the road one day and a couple of his disciples come up to him and they said, Jesus, how do we become number one in email? How do we get more email subscribers? And he says, anyone who wants to be a popular email writer must be a servant. Okay, so that's not exactly what he said. But if you want to be first, you must be last. And if you want to lead, you have to serve. And if you think about the emails that you get, that you enjoy getting, that you actually read, it's because they serve you in some way. Maybe they tell you about a discount you didn't know about, or they give you some news about something. They're educating you, or they're funny. You know, think about the kind of emails that you forward to a friend. One of the wonderful things people forget about email is that it's highly viral. And oftentimes, if an email is well made, it actually leads to a boost in subscribers, not a decrease in subscribers. So at Enclave Publishing, we sent out an email last Friday for Black Friday, as we're recording this right after Black Friday. And we had, for the Cyber Monday email, like another 20 subscribers. So that Black Friday email had been forwarded and it actually led to a net increase in subscribers, not a net decrease in subscribers. So think like a servant, and that will depend on your book. So Gary, for you, I'd say, you know, give prayer tips. If your book's about prayer, give encouragements. Maybe give stories of answered prayer. Various ways, you know, that email should be very prayer focused, which would be totally different from someone who, say, writes books about zombies. You know, if you write books, if your books are about zombies, I would, you know, share reviews of other zombie books or photos of zombies, or, you know, find a way to entertain, educate, emote chuckles, aka laugh, or encourage in a way that's related to your book.
Here's an example from my own life. Really, my theme of my books and my life is living with more freedom. And so one aspect of getting more free is overcoming fears. And so I jumped out of an airplane on August 22nd from 13,000 feet.
Perfectly good airplane.
Perfectly good airplane, yeah. And heights is my biggest personal fear. And so I shared that in my newsletter and I shared a video. But it wasn't just about me jumping. It was really drawing attention to the fact that we can overcome our fears. And really the push of the newsletter is, what's your greatest fear? What's the thing you need to step out in? Whether it's face a relationship you haven't wanted to face, or quit a job, or start a job, or start a business. So really the focus of the newsletter is, what can this inspire you to do? Not just about me. So take what you are at your core and use that to, like Thomas said, one more time, entertain, educate, emote chuckles, or encourage.
Another thing you can consider adding to your email newsletter is curated blog posts. We started doing this a while back at Author Media, where we'd have an opening letter for our newsletter that was just to the newsletter subscribers, something email exclusive. And then at the bottom, we'd have four or five blog posts. And we started doing this with Enclave Publishing. So we sent out our Black Friday email, very popular email, biggest discounts of the year. You know what our most clicked on link was? was to a 2-year-old blog post about bad boy characters that had this really intriguing photo. it was at the very bottom of the email, but people really loved that post. It caught their attention and they clicked on it. And so I would encourage you, this is a great way to repurpose old blog posts because people don't typically dig through your blog very much. And so if you can pull a bunch of blog posts together on a theme, that can be a great way to serve because you're curating your own blog.
Another thing you can do, if people are signed up for your newsletter, they've probably read one of your books, maybe more. And so sometimes it's fun to put trivia in there about a particular title. And that's the kind of the behind the scenes or the deleted scenes on the DVD, if you will, where if no one else is getting that, that makes them feel kind of special.
A couple other ideas, fan art, same as with the blog. And then finally, discounts. If you're self-published, you should be price pulsing your books at least once per quarter. And we'll do a whole episode on price pulsing in the future. But the 5-second version is that price pulsing is temporarily lowering the price of your books, particularly the first book in a series, to try to give it a boost in sales, often in combination with a site like BookBub or something like that. And so people love getting email discounts. You'll get far fewer unsubscribes from an email with discounts. All right. So, Jim, do we leave out?
Exactly. What do we not include? If there's things we do include, what do we not include? Really, we touched on this already, Thomas, and that is information about your personal life. It's not your Christmas card. Your close friends want to know about your Christmas card. And I'm not saying you leave out everything about your personal life.
I mean,
I think a little bit of pepper or a little bit of, let's use salt, can work, but too much salt makes the dish taste horrible.
Yeah, and so, nobody cares about you. No one cares about your kids. Nobody cares about your dog.
Right, and we've talked about this often in the past. They do not care about you. What they care about is what you can do for them, right? So if this is not doing something for them, leave it out. And if in doubt, leave it out.
That's right. Now, I will concede that if there's something like your story about the skydiving, that's not really about you. It's about me overcoming my fears. And it's your story is an example about me. And so that story, even though it's about you, serves me by reading about it. It might encourage me to face one of my biggest fears. And so the only exception I would have to the don't talk about your personal life is if in some way it is directly beneficial to people, or if it's hilariously funny. So go back to the emote chuckles. If it's just like roll on the ground laughing, then we'll make an exception for that. The other thing I would leave out is anything that is boring. This should go without saying, but I've read a lot of boring emails. And let me just tell you, it only takes one boring email for somebody to hit unsubscribe. And then now that boring email, you didn't have to send. You could have just skipped it and not sent it. But now when you are announcing your book next month, that person isn't getting that email because they've unsubscribed because you're boring. So think about someone who truly doesn't care about you. They only care about themselves. You have to answer the question, what's in it for me, with your email. And the better answer you have to that, and the better you work that answer into the subject of the email, the more it'll get opened and the more it'll get forwarded.
Okay, so Thomas, we're convinced we have to do a newsletter, or we want to do a newsletter. How do we handle the details of sending out a newsletter? Like how often is too much? How much is too little? How do we take this off our plate so it's not something we're worried about all the time? Talk about that a little bit.
Okay, so the first thing I would say is automate, automate, automate. So email should be automatic. A lot of it should be. So Gary, from his email, sounded like he was hand sending his newsletter with the blog posts in it. That can be automated. MailChimp has magic powers where it can automatically send an email with your blog post. As soon as you post your blog post, you don't even have to log in to MailChimp. It's one of the reasons why I love MailChimp, is that it has RSS to email functionality. So that's the first thing I would say is automate what you can. And then the second thing I would say is don't send email too often. If you're a novelist, I think you can get away with once per quarter is probably the ideal frequency for sending an email. If you're nonfiction like Gary, if you're really helping people with prayer, they're probably wanting a more frequent email from you. But if you're a novelist, there's not a whole lot going on, right? Hopefully you're putting out a book every, 6 months or so. There's more to send an email about, but you really need to be not spending time on social media and not sending out lots of email. You need to be, wait for it, writing your novel.
You heard it here, folks. The best brochure you can write is your next novel. That's true. Right. And yet I'll push back a little bit, Thomas, and say if there are some, and this is rare, but there are some novelists that could send one out once a month with relevant information that is engaging, and you go, I can't wait. But I see a lot of novelists saying, ooh, I got to send one out once a month. So they do, and they stretch, and it's not worth it. Save up and send 4 great ones a year instead of 12 mediocre ones.
And a lot of this depends, too, on how big your backlist is. So let's say you've been published for a long time, and you've got 20 books in your backlist that you now have the rights to. You can price pulse a different book every month, and you can go almost 2 years without having the same book, you know, repeated. And so if, say, you're writing a new book every year, you can go 2 years because the months around your book launch, you won't be price pulsing. So again, this is just a general rule of thumb, but here's the hot tip. No one ever unsubscribes from an email newsletter because it comes too infrequently. Now, I've had people complain back when Author Media's email was weekly. When we would skip a week, we would have people emailing us all freaked out thinking that they had gotten unsubscribed somehow. And they're like, did I miss the email? And I'm like, no, we just didn't get around to sending it this week. But that, you know what they did? Nothing. They were like, oh, okay, I'm glad I'm not unsubscribed. They didn't unsubscribe because they're angry that they didn't get more emails. And so don't be afraid to cut down the frequency, because there will come a time when you're doing a book launch that you'll send 2 or 3 emails out in 1 week, you know, saying book comes out in a week, book comes out tomorrow, book comes out today. That's 3 emails in 1 week. And so you want to kind of build up so that you can get away with that.
Thomas, I've got good news and bad news. The good news is there's lots more to say about email newsletters. And so I think we should do some more episodes on this. The bad news is we're out of time.
Bum, bum, bum.
So thank you for listening to this edition of the Novel Marketing Podcast. It's brought to you this time by My Book Table. If you do not have My Book Table on your website, the only excuse for not having it is if you don't have a WordPress site. Other than that, you should have it on there. And right now you can get 10% off, boom, automatically. Just use the coupon code Novel Marketing. My Book Table will sell more of your books. It'll sell more books where you'll get affiliate kickback. It's kind of a no-brainer.
Jim and I don't charge to do this podcast. Our sole currency is iTunes reviews. That is what we eat, and that is what we pay the rent with, or at least that's what encourages us to keep making episodes. So if you'd like us to continue making an episode, please let us know by leaving a review on iTunes or your podcast application of choice. So if you use Stitcher, we are also accepting Stitcher reviews. Do leave us a review. We really appreciate it.
This has been the Novel Marketing Podcast, giving you novel ideas on how to promote yourself and your writing offline, online, and everywhere in between.